to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 172 of the podcast, your Daytona 500 preview. Hope you guys all had a fantastic post-Super Bowl relaxation period, or whatever you want to call it, decompression period. Football is over. We take some time, we recharge the batteries, and then we begin to focus anew. College basketball, pro basketball, hockey, tennis, golf, boxing, UFC, auto racing, you name it. We're going to be covering it over the next few months. In addition to football, don't worry, as the football topics come up, we will continue to give you the best information possible. But today, we are going to welcome Eric Smith onto the podcast, a motorsports writer and editor for the Race Review Online. He is going to get you set with all the information you need to know about Sunday's running of the Daytona 500, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Like a lot of you guys, I watch Daytona, but I am a very recreational auto racing fan. I'm not going to come on this show and give you any picks. I'm not an expert in this field. I don't study this field. If I were to give you picks on this field, I feel it would be irresponsible. So we'll turn the conversation over to someone who does this for a living, who can steer us in the right direction. But before we get to Eric, the Sharp 600 is brought to you by DraftKings. Covers is very excited to partner with DraftKings, who is offering a free bet up to $500 when you make your first wager. All you have to do is go to DraftKings.com/500-free-bet to take advantage of this offer. That link is located in the bio of this podcast. Act quickly. This promotion won't be around for long. Eligibility and restrictions apply. See website for details.
If you ain't first, you're last.
He is a motorsports writer and editor for the Race Review Online. You can also check him out as the auto racing advisor at coversexperts.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Smith joining us here on the Sharp 600. Eric, first time on the show, man. Thanks so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
I got to ask you this right out of the gate. Is it odd, and I know that this question's probably been asked of you several times, is it odd that NASCAR opens with its Super Bowl rather than closes with it?
That is definitely a common question. It is odd. You would think it would be their final race of the year, and Homestead would be their quote-unquote Super Bowl, but this is one that's just always been their most hype, most public, a PR dream for NASCAR is Daytona. That's where they're located. Their corporate office is right across the street from the track, so they tend to spend more attention on this race. So, it is very odd that they start the year off with their quote-unquote Super Bowl.
The main reason I ask that is I want to know how challenging it is to try to handicap this race versus others. Generally, when you have a sample size of, say, maybe 5-6 races, you understand who's running well, who's not. Similar in golf, who's running well, who's running not. Seeing as how this is the first race of the season, does that make it more unpredictable than other races?
Yes, it definitely does, because every season, as they say, is a new one. Things change. Like, for example, one of the manufacturers, Ford, has a brand new car this year. They're running a Mustang. So you've got different cars, different drivers, different scenarios. It's definitely one of the most tougher ones to handicap. Plus, you throw into it, it's a restrictor plate race where it's like basically throw a blanket over all 40 drivers that are starting, that anybody could win this race, which is also odd that a Super Bowl could have an unlikely upset winner, somebody that's maybe never won before, but that also throws a wrench into things. So, yes, this is one of the tougher ones to handicap, but if you can get it right, it's definitely a good payday that's worth it.
Okay, so if I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start researching this weekend's Daytona 500, what are the key factors to look for? What are the indicators that help predict success?
Usually one, especially Daytona, is really about sometimes past success. Are they a good restrictor plate racer or not? Because this is a different kind of art than what you see in most weeks during a NASCAR season, because there's restricted airflow, which most of these cars, they're going the same speed. So you're kind of lumped together, and it's all about an airflow to the car, which makes you maybe a little bit quicker in a draft. So picture, I guess, basically if you're running down a highway on an interstate and you're behind a tractor trailer, a semi, how you feel that your car starts wobbly, but you also you suck in behind them faster. That's what these guys are doing. So there's an art to when to make a move or not. Some guys just don't have it. Some guys have the feel. So I look at, are they a good plate racer first and foremost? And then the second part is that team, do they have fast race cars that put them in a good position? So those are your first two factors. And then you could start weeding it down really from scenarios from there. But those are the first two. Is one, are they a good plate racer in general? And two, what has that team done in the past at a track like Daytona?
When it comes to any sport, there generally tend to be angles that analysts may overblow. For example, you could have a scenario leading into the Super Bowl when someone's talking about Tom Brady and the Patriots and their past success during the first quarter. Now, that's a trend that held true. Brady and the Patriots have only scored 3 total points in the first quarter of their 9 Super Bowl appearances. But then there are other trends that are thrown out there, road teams coming west, stuff that you would never want to believe in because it sounds good, but it doesn't really shake out in a larger sample size. Is there any information that's thrown out this week about this race that tends to be overblown, I guess is what I'm getting at?
Yeah, there's a little. For example, like Brad Keselowski, he is the odds-on favorite, depending on what site you go to. For odds, it's pretty a common denominator. He is the favorite. But, and rightfully so, he's got the most super speedway wins out of all the drivers in the field. But out of his 5 super speedway wins, 4 of them came out of completely different track than Daytona. So it's one that you kind of have to be wary on. Sometimes they'll give guys, like I took a look at the updated odds last night, and out of the top 5, 3 of them are basically just based off of what the restrictor plate stats are in general, but they fail to take out what they do at Daytona too. So there are some stats like that, yes, that are maybe a little overblown, that they might urge you to take somebody that because he's a quote-unquote great plate racer, but maybe he's not great at that track, which could in turn hurt you.
Throughout the course of the week leading up to the race on Sunday, there are other races, there are other events. How important is it to pay attention to this when it comes to the handicapping process?
Honestly, not a whole lot. Like the Clash that was just run last Sunday, that had only a 20-car field. It's almost like an all-star race. The 500 on Sunday, on this coming Sunday, will have 40 cars. It's everybody. So a draft changes. Like tonight's race, for example, are the duels, which will set the starting lineup for the Daytona 500, but that race is run at night when there's more grip. When it's a nighttime race, there's more grip in the track because it's cooler. So guys are actually they're going all out more. It's a tough one to bet on as far as looking at bets or looking at picks for tonight and try to turn that into the Daytona 500, because I think you're going to see a completely different race on Sunday. One, it's going to be running the heat of the day. It's going to be almost 80 degrees in Daytona, which makes the track hotter and slicker. And plus tonight, there's a lot of guys that just, they don't want to wreck their race car, because if they wreck tonight, then they actually have to go to a completely new car and start in the back of the Daytona 500. So you're going to have some guys take it easier tonight, where some may race harder, where the final finish order may be misconstrued compared to what you actually may see on Sunday. So I wouldn't take a whole lot of stock in what we see tonight or last Sunday and make those, and really try to turn those into information for a bet on Sunday, or for this upcoming Sunday, I'm sorry.
You mentioned Brad Keselowski as the favorite entering Sunday's race. If we were to go further down the board to try and identify some long shots who could make it happen at Daytona, which names would we be paying attention to?
Good question. One of my top ones for this week, he's actually got the 3rd worst odds. He's plus 8,000 is a guy named Chris Buescher. He drives for the JTG Doherty Camp. It'll be a Kroger-sponsored car. In his last 3 Daytona starts, he's got 3 top 10 finishes. Last year, he finished 5th in Daytona 500, and he finished 5th in the July race down in Daytona. So that's one guy that I've got my eye on, because they have Hendrick Motorsports power in their cars now, which is a huge upgrade compared to what they've had in the past. For example, Hendrick is they're one of the bigger teams in NASCAR. The front row are Hendrick cars. So this guy, Chris Buescher, has the same kind of horsepower they have, and he didn't have that prior to this year. And if he has 3 top 10 finishes in a row, imagine what he can do with that horsepower this year. So he's the guy I got my eye out on. A guy named Matt DiBenedetto, it's a long name. He's plus 6,600. He's got two top 10 finishes the last 2 years in Daytona. He finished 9th in this race in 2017. With a very underfunded team. This year he moves up to a better team with better horsepower. So with those odds, he's another one that's worth watching. Another guy I like is Darrell Wallace. He is the first African-American race car driver in a long time in terms of NASCAR. He finished second in this race last year. He drives for Richard Petty Motorsports, which is a pretty well-known team, and he's got plus 4,000 odds. He's another one worth watching. And another guy that's down there the same similar odds is Ryan Newman. He's a former Daytona 500 champion. He finished eighth in this race last year. He finished eighth in the July race in Daytona Daytona the year before, and he finished fifth in the July race before that. So he's got three top eight finishes in his last three Daytona starts. And this year he moves to a Ford, which Ford has won 13 of the last 18 restrictor plate races. So I usually use some of those factors in my wagers too, where you look at someone like that with those long odds, but he moves to a Ford who's got more success, that should up his value too, but he's still way down on the list, which is a good value pick.
All right, now on the flip side of the equation, are there any names, popular names at the top of the list, who might not be the favorite, but they're close, who you would eliminate from your handicapping entirely? Perhaps they would be individuals you would bet against in race matchups.
Yeah, one guy, as I mentioned earlier, was Keselowski, and he's a really good plate racer, but he's had bad luck. He's had four straight finishes of 27th or worse at Daytona. He's wrecked out of five of his last six Daytona 500 starts. So he's not one that he's actually the favorite that he's one that I'd be scared to put money on just because of those past stats. It just seems like he just gets caught up in somebody else's mess. So he's one that I would be a little wary on. Clint Bowyer is another one. He's got the second best odds. He's only got one top five finish over his last 5 years in Daytona altogether. He finished 15th last year in this race, 32nd the year before, and 33rd the year before that. So he's another one that I would be a little wary on. His teammate, Kevin Harvick, he's got the third best odds. Six of his last nine Daytona 500s, he's finished 19th or worse. So that's another one that I'd be a little scared to take just because there's that factor that, yes, they've got really good odds up front, but they've also been crashed out in majority of the races in the last 4 or 5 years there.
So to bring it home, let's take a look at matchups, odds to win, anything that you're going to be keeping a close eye on this weekend. Who should we be focusing on?
I would look at a guy like Joey Logano. He won the championship last year. He's entering with a bunch of momentum. In the last four Daytona 500s, he's finished in the top six in all of them. He kind of rivals his teammate Keselowski in terms of the better restrictor plate racers in the game today. He's just smart and calculated. He's a guy that I like. He's got Ford power, as I mentioned earlier. They've won 13 of the last 18 restrictor plate races. Yes, they've got a new car this year, but they just ran the Clash last Sunday, and I know I say don't take a lot of stock in that, but a lot of the drivers were saying after that race that the Fords look even better this year compared to last year. So he's one I take a look at. Denny Hamlin would be another one. He's got four top four finishes in his last five Daytona 500 starts. He won this race in 2016. He's plus 1,000. He's another guy that I think is going to get a favorable matchup in some matchups that I would take a look at somebody like that. And also I would look at a guy like Austin Dillon. He's the defending champion. He's plus 3,300, and he's got six top 10 finishes in his last 10 Daytona starts. So he's a guy that may get put against maybe like a Keselowski or someone like that in a matchup and have good odds that would work in actually the better's favor.
Damn, that is great stuff. Follow him on Twitter at @Eric_RaceReview, motorsports writer and editor for the Race Review Online. You can also check him out as the auto racing advisor at coversexperts.com. Eric Smith with us here on the Sharp 600. Eric, I know you're busy this week, man, but thanks so much for jumping on the show. That was awesome.
Oh, no problem, Joe. Anytime, anytime.
If you smell a delicious, crispy smell after the race, it's not your tailpipe. It's a little bit of shake,
and then
shake. Shake and bake.
Episode 172 of the podcast is in the can. A big shout out to Eric Smith for jumping on the Sharp 600 this week to help us handicap Sunday's running of the Daytona 500. A reminder for all of you out there, the Sharp 600 is brought to you by DraftKings. Covers is very excited to partner with DraftKings. They're actually offering a free bet up to $500 when you make your first wager. All you have to do is go to DraftKings.com/500-free-bet to take advantage of this offer. The link is located in the bio of this podcast. Act quickly. This promotion won't be around for long. Eligibility and restrictions apply. See website for details. Enjoy the Daytona 500 this weekend, everybody. Thank you once again for tuning in. We'll be back soon. But until then, be well and best of luck.